Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for a beautiful morning. It is beautiful because the Lord is here. Praise the Lord. In your presence, Lord, is the fullness of joy. At the right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. Lord, we thank you for your the covenant-keeping God. I am with you always, he says, to the end of the world. The Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest, he tells us. The angel of the Lord encamps around them that fear the Lord and delivereth them. So we have every reason to be joyful in him. Because he said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I will help thee. I will strengthen thee. I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. That is the reason we rejoice. Lord, we worship and we adore you, Lord. Thank you for the testimony. And thank you for the singing time. So great is our God. He even inhabits our praises. That's how much he loves us. They sing unto the Lord a new song. He said, let the saints sing aloud upon their beds. He says, commanded us. So we thank you, Father, for so much in loving us. Now, as we turn the pages of your word this morning, Lord, we just ask in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ that the Holy Spirit will revelate the Lord, O God, and help us to let the word of the Lord be mixed together with faith in our hearts, that in the days to come and even today, it be profitable even unto us. This is what we ask in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. This morning, by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, I want to speak some about the integrity of the word of God. Everything else hangs upon that. So I call it the word of God is infallible. The infallibility of God's word. I don't care what anybody says. God's word is infallible. Praise the Lord. You see, the main reason God's children are not quicker to act on the word is due to the fact that they sometimes doubt the validity of the scripture for us today. Without, whether or not God will really do for us what he said he will do when we are confronted with real life problems, you know, when everything is going smooth, where we can say anything, right? When we are confronted with real life problems, many of God's children begin to doubt whether God will do what he said he will do. Well, many of us, if they ask us, they walk up to you, ask you a question. Do you believe everything in the word of God? We know the answer. Many of us will say, we are quick to say, answer, I certainly do. Although, we are sometimes very slow to incorporate the Lord's teachings in our life. You know, so how very easy it is to hear a beautiful sermon, a beautiful message, or you listen to a message, or you even read a book, and you affirm the truth of it mentally, you know. Yet, when taken from the realm of theory and put into the area of daily living, how much different it looks. This is the point where most of God's children make excuses for their unbelief. The trial of our faith was against the subtle impressions of the enemy. He is subtle. Back in the garden, it was the most subtle thing out there in the garden of Eden when he appeared, that creature over there. Subtle impressions and so forth. So the trial of our faith was against the subtle impressions of the enemy. 2 Corinthians 10:2-5 says this. For though we walk in the flesh, this is the truth some of us forget all the time. You think you are fighting with flesh and blood? No. No. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not walk after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. When you rest in the Lord, you know, that weapons, of our warfare are not carnal at all, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Now you're casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So you see, all these things come to God's people. Nobody is exempted. But the Lord gave us the solution to it. Imagination will come and all those things and so on. God foreknew before the world began. And he put this scripture there in divine order. And he taught us what to do about these thoughts. As well as that, you know. So, we can cast down imagination and every item in our mind which exalts itself against the knowledge of God in our heart. By doing what? By swinging what I call the sword, or what the Bible calls the sword of the Spirit. You swing the sword of the Spirit. That is, in Ephesians 6:17, it's called the word of God. The sword of the Spirit is the word of God. I'm talking about the infallibility of God's word this morning, you know. So the battle will be over much more quickly if you and I could believe with our hearts in the full integrity of God's word. That's how quickly you get things done in your life, if you believe fully in the integrity of God's word. So anyway, many scriptures show us how infallible the word of God really is. Let me step through some of them this morning by His grace. Psalm 89:34 says this. God talking to you and I all the time. My covenant will I not break. Talking about the infallibility of God's word. My covenant will I not break. Nor utter the thing that is gone out of my lips. Utter this word. The word utter means to change. So you can say it this way. The Lord will not change the thing that is gone out of his lips. This means that God will never change what he had already said in his word. God will not break his promise. He will always keep his word. The infallibility of God's word. The integrity of God's word. Well, it is often said that God can do anything. People will say that. Or everything is said. But the truth of it is this. There are certain things that God cannot really do. And God tells us that. What can God do? I'll show you a few of them. God cannot lie. That's one of them. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Titus 1:2. If you want to get scripture for what I'm talking about. God cannot lie. 1:2. In hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie, promised before the world began. Yeah, God cannot lie. See? So, one of the things he cannot do. Well, so we see that God cannot lie. But we know that men can and they do lie, but not God. God cannot lie. You know, and so that's right here. One of the things he cannot do. Now, before that reason, it is not that God is just too good to lie, as some people think. You know, not really. But in actual truth, God won't lie because he can't. It's not because he's too good that he will not lie. No. In the real thing that God won't lie because he can't. So he can't lie. God says so. Now, this brings us to another scripture here in Numbers 23 verse 19. God is not a man that he should lie. Neither the son of man that he should repent. As he said, and shall he not do it? Or has he spoken, and shall he not make it good? So, God is not a man, and a man is not God really. This shows us why God's people are so incompatible with him much of the time. You see, the truth that God cannot lie is taken to another, it's akin to something the Bible says about him. In 1 John 1:5, in there towards the end, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. It's a key to that scripture, really, you know. The same way, God cannot lie. So, you know, so now, rather than stating it in Balaam's word, where is God's word, I will put it this way. Instead of saying that, that God cannot know, that as he said, I will not do, I will confess it like this. I will say this to you and say it again. He has said, and he shall do it. I want to make it so positive I turn it from a questioning point of view. I want to confess. You want to confess. He has said that, and he shall do it. You know? He has spoken, and he shall make it good. I want to, you know, say that to myself every day. To yourself every day. Yes, God has said, and he shall do it. He has spoken, and he shall make it good. The infallibility of God's word, the integrity of God's word. Not only that God cannot lie, there are other things he cannot do. God cannot fail. That's another thing he cannot do. He cannot fail. One other thing is this. God cannot err. Man can err, but God cannot err. You know? James 1:13 says this. Let no man say when he is tempted. This is another thing God cannot do. I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted. You can't tempt him with evil. Neither tempted is any man. You see? So now, one thing about this, about God's word is this. God's word is settled forever. You know, talking about the infallibility of God's word, the integrity thereof. Psalm 119, verse 88 says this. Quicken me after thy loving kindness, so shall I keep the testimony of thy mouth. When God has quickened David by the Holy Ghost and so forth, then he exclaimed in the next verse, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. When he was quickened by the Holy Ghost and so forth, he couldn't just hold it. Say, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. That the Lord's word was forever settled in heaven means what? It means that God's word was forever settled ages before holy men of God were moved by the Holy Ghost to speak it at all. The throne of God gave the rule, this rule, in the ages of eternity, before time began, before time ever began, you know, and some of that, you know, the throne gave the rule in the ages of eternity before time began. What was it? The same word, you know, the same word shall be unchanged when time shall cease, you know, and continue unchanged through the endless ages to come in the future. You see? So the unchanging word of God, that you can't change as well as that, you know. That which was and is forever settled in heaven was communicated to men on earth later, you know. That's what we are told in 2 Peter 1:21. It says this, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but only men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. We are said that the Holy Spirit breathed upon men, upon the scripts and so forth, who wrote the scripts and so forth, inspiring, inerrantly, without any error, the testimony contained in the book we call the Bible today. The Holy Bible, you know, and the law making the words written life. The Holy Ghost made the word to be life and spirit to those who hear them, and heard to all their flesh. So you say the Holy Spirit will quicken that word and make it life to you and I as we read them and digest them. 1 Peter 1:25 says this, the word toward the end, the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached to you and I. Bible says so. So it's what shall endure forever. Now, I want to put more scripture here. The reason God's word cannot fail is due to the divine decree. That's a divine decree. Why is what can never fail? That is that the earth as well as heaven will have you know, to pass away for God's will whatsoever say. And the Lord Jesus himself told us in Matthew 24:35, he says this, the divine, he says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. So the integrity of God's word, right? The infallibility. Even in Matthew 5:18, he said something akin to that again. For verily, really truly, I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one title shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. So, and there are so many of them in the Bible, and here is yet another scripture that shows that the unfailing oath of God is forever honored by heaven. Jeremiah 1:12 says that, "Then said the Lord unto me, Thou hast well seen, for I will hasten my word to perform it." He will hasten his word to perform it. Well, in the margin, that word is in the margin, is translated, to wash over, rather hasten. Well, either one is good anyway. So he said, we wash over his word to perform it. So the Lord is saying he will be quicker to perform his word wherever anyone claims it as theirs. When you claim God's promise as your own, God is quicker to perform it. He will do it. He will wash it over it to perform it. He is also saying that when we speak or hide his word in our heart, he will wash over what we meditate and speak to perform them or fulfill it and so on, that, you know. And this is how we grow, you know, in the divine nature. You know, so if when you meditate upon his word, confess his word, you know, it is right there to perform it and so forth. Yeah, we have many people in the Bible. The centurion came to the Lord. "Oh, master, my servant," you know, he said, he's sick of party or whatever that was and so forth. You know, in Matthew chapter 8. And the Lord said, "Okay, I will come and heal him," the Lord said. And the man answered in verse 8. And then said, "Lord, I am not worthy that thou should come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed." Talking about the integrity and the infallibility of God's word. The Lord said, "Wow." The man said, "I'm a man under authority." It's a centurion, right? You know, I say to this one, "Go this way," he goes. That one comes and he comes. Just speak the word only. My servant shall be whole. The Lord said, "I have never seen such a faith, not in all of Israel. Go that way," he said, "and the servant shall be made whole." And it was so. The man, he knew something. Just speak the word. You see, the infallibility of God's word. It is the same to anybody who will take God at his word today. Whatever he says in that Bible, it is true. You claim it as your own, and he will wash over to perform it. You know, so even in the early church, when the church given the commission to the church in the beginning, and it will be said today in Mark 16:20, and they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord walking with them, and confirming the word with signs following. That was the amen there, you know. So today, when we see God's word, he will confirm it, you know, to us. And that's one thing the church has to learn to do today, to speak the word only, preach only the word. If you want God to confirm what you are preaching, better be preaching his word. Now, another thing is this. In 2 Peter 1:3, "According as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness," right? If he has done that for us. Here the next verse. "Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through law." So the Bible is saying here to you and I, God has given unto us exceeding great and precious promises in his word, that by this we may be sharers, we become sharers, associates, partners, and companions of the nature of our Heavenly Father. You see, that's what he's saying. We become sharers, associates, and so for partners, you know, and companions of the nature of our Heavenly Father, which is the divine nature. So in our life, when we find an area of our life that doesn't seem to measure up to the divine nature, what do? We are to look for a promise in the Bible or a provision in the Word of God that adequately fits our particular need. Yeah, when you find an area in your life or in my life that doesn't really measure up, you know, to the divine nature, what do? Find a scripture. Find a promise in the Bible, you know, and that adequately fits our particular need. When you find it, what do with it? When you find it, and you know, what you do with it is treasure it. You find the scripture, right? Or God permit, treasure it by claiming it. You claim it and praising God from there, whether you see or you don't see. And by virtue of His truth and unfailing promise to make it good in your life and in my life, and to perform it perfectly in and through us. So, an area doesn't measure up in my life, in your life, go find a scripture. Go find the promise of God and claim it as your own. And God will see to it that it is done. So by incorporating His word in our life, we do escape the corruption and pollution that is in the world through the perverted desires that is all over the place this day. Talking about the integrity of the word of God. Now, what is this? Everything in this universe, or universe is really, that we know today, is upheld, or they are upheld by the word of His power. That is in Hebrews 1:3. All things are being upheld by the word of His power. Colossians 1:16 and 17 says that, and all things, by Him, all things consist. That's the Lord Jesus Christ, right? So, now the thing is this. While the Lord, to fail, to make His promise good, what is going to happen? All the creation will disintegrate because all things are upheld by the word of His power, right? Should He fail at all, I'm telling you, all the creation will disintegrate. See? So we know that. Now, another thing about God's word is this. God's word is alive today. It's always alive. God's word is alive. Now, talking about God's word this morning, so we can have confidence in this word. See? That's what I'm saying. Have confidence and so forth. Now, Hebrews 4:12. That's right. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So what is a quick word? That means quick means it's alive. God's word is alive. And our Lord Jesus Christ is the living word. Yes, our Lord Jesus Christ is the living word. John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. And verse 14 says, and the word was made flesh and dwelt among God, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Revelation 19:13 says, His name is called the Word of God. Talking about God's word being alive, right? And Christ is that word. See? And He lives forever. God's word lives forever. Christ lives forever. Revelation 1:18. And He that liveth, I'm using interchangeably, Christ and the Word. They are one and the same. So I'm using them interchangeably, you know. So anyway, and He lives forever. It says in Revelation 1:18. And He that liveth, I was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. And the Bible puts Amen here. And of Him, it was written in Hebrews 7:17, thou art a priest forever. You see the foreverness, the eternal, as one that you know. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. He is our eternal high priest. I skipped some of the previous phrases in the attached verse. So I just take the last part and so on. thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. I believe it is Psalm 110, I believe it is. That was even said and so on. Prophesying of Christ. I don't have that one in there. I think it says so. It's Psalm 110 anyway. Now, Hebrews 7:3. Without father, without mother, without descent, and having neither beginning of days nor end of life, then toward the end abideth a priest continually. Talking about our Lord Jesus Christ here, the Word of God. In verse 16 of Hebrews 7, toward the end. Who is later? I'm going to skip it since here. After the power of an endless life. I'm using Christ and the Word interchangeably. They are one and the same, right? You know, so don't get confused here. Yeah? Micah 5:2. Whose going forth has been of old from everlasting. Then in Hebrews 7:25, he ever liveth, talking about God's word being alive, right? He ever liveth to make intercession for you and me. When you think you are alone, nobody cares and so forth, he is watching over you. He's even making intercession for you. Bible says he ever does that, you know. 1 Peter 1:23, the word of God liveth and abideth forever. God's word is alive, it's not dead. It's alive forevermore. The Bible says and so on that, you know. So what happened is the written word, which becomes life and spirit, as the Holy Spirit reveals and show it to you and me, is alive. In Psalm 119, verse 33, it says, I will never forget thy precepts. For with them thou hast quickened me. See? Quickened me. Or if you like, by them you have kept me alive. God's word is alive, you know. By his word, he has kept me alive. In Proverbs 4:20, my son, attend to my words. Incline thy ear unto my sins. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Talking about God's word, right? Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they, meaning my words, alive, talking about God's word being alive, right? Alive unto those that find them, and the head to all their flesh, the Bible says. So, the word that God speaks is living and full of energy, yes? Holy Ghost energy. It's aggressive, and accomplishing the purpose for which that word is sent. We are told in Isaiah 55, the 10th verse says this concerning the word of God. So that's the reason I'm talking about the integrity of God's word and the infallibility of it. All things, you know, hang on that. Our life hangs on that. And so you have confidence in this word, whatever it says about you or me. 55 of Isaiah verse 10 concerning God's word. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it break forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So, verse 11 says, so shall my word be, the integrity of God's word, so shall my word be, that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the things whereunto I send it. So he used nature to tell you what is what we do, you know. So you can tell, you can have confidence now in this word of God. You can never say it's infallible. I mean, you can trust in it. God's word is living, and what was spoken thousands of years ago still stands today, because it's the word of God. It was written, God's word was spoken and given, and still stands written, spoken, and given today. It's operative. For God will still make it good to those who rely upon Him. Rely upon God's word, God will make it operative for you. He will bring it to pass. You know, the word of God is not dead at all. It's alive. The word is that which is written, yes, taken by the Holy Spirit and applied to us as we partake of it by faith, you know. Now, when I say the word, it's not the black and white only, you see the Bible, yeah, the black and white is there, you know, that's called a letter, you know. So, yeah, but that which was recorded, yes, and made real to us by the Holy Ghost. The Bible tells us that the letter killeth, right? But the spirit, you know, giveth life. So we know that not the black and white only, part of it, but it is when the Holy Ghost takes that word at all. It takes him to reveal the word of God, because he gave the word of God in the beginning. So it takes him to reveal it to us and so forth, that, you know. So that's how we see that. Now, man's traditional doctrine. We have to be very careful now. A lot of tradition has gone into the world of religion. So, and the Lord himself spoke about it. Man's traditional doctrine, full of the letter, but void of the spirit, make the word of God of none effect. Mark 7:13. So tradition, when people veer away from the word of God and put tradition in there, it makes God's word ineffective. So the Lord warned in there and he told us that and so forth. Only the spirit of truth can reveal the word of truth. 2 Corinthians 3:16, he said the letter killeth, but the spirit giveth life. So we see that there. Only the spirit of truth. The word is operative on our behalf when we are establishing the truth, not in the tradition of men. Many of the times people don't happen in people's life because they base some of their thinking, their action on traditional things that men do. Now, when you take the pure word of God, unadulterated, God will see to it that it accomplished what he said he will do. So, now, let's see. Another thing is this. The word of God is powerful. Very, very powerful. In Psalm 52, verse 11, God has spoken once. Twice have I heard this. That power belongeth unto God. Just exalting God's word this morning, so you can just cleave to the word of God under any circumstances and so forth, that, you know. In Psalm 29, that psalm is full of many things about the word of God. I only take verse 4 out of it. But you can go and read it. What things are said about the word of God in Psalm 29. Verse 40. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. You know? So, powerful means active, it's operative, or it's effectual. In other words, anything God says fully fulfills what was spoken by nation of the one, the Lord himself, who gave that word. We are told in Psalm 66, verse 11, the Lord gave the word, right? So it's powerful, you know, means it's active, operative, it's effective, you know. Anything God says fully fulfills what was spoken by the nation of the one who gave the word, the Lord himself. And the Lord backs up what he speaks with his unlimited, inexhaustible, unending power to make it completely good and openly manifested. Let me read that one again. The Lord backs up his word that he speaks with his unlimited, inexhaustible, unending power to make it completely good and openly manifested to those who will believe it. Isaiah 40:29. He gave power to the faith. See? The word of God will do that for you. He gave power to the faith. And to them that have no might, he increases strength. God's word will do that to you, know. What he has promised, he shall make good. God will always make what he has said, make it good in all that believe and act on that word. You know? So you see that right here. Now, after the Lord exerts his power with a display of divine strength, he sees no weakness or drain of energy like a man will do, you know? Because we are told in Isaiah 40:28, by the Lord, hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is he weary, There is no searching of his understanding. Just by the grace of God this morning, exalting God's word is everything. And we know that all things were created by the word of God. Nothing was made that was not made by the word of God, which is also the Lord Jesus Christ. God is God, of course. In Hebrews 11:3, the words were framed by the word of God. We are told the words were framed by the word of God. Now, another thing about the word of God is this. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. I think I read that before. The word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. You see? The adversary can whisper, Satan whisper to you, whisper to me, and so forth. But when you have that word of God with you, then you can make it whatever he says to you. He's a liar and father of lies, right? When you have the truth, you can discern the lies of the devil and make it void and null by the word of God. Now, I will say this also. Sometimes the hand of the law won't, but they also heal. He chastises you and I. I say that again. Sometimes the hand of the law will wound, but they also will heal. He inflicts pain, meaning the convicting word, but he also gives belief by the Holy Ghost, the comforter. No, in Deuteronomy 32:39 says this, what I'm saying now. I wound that, and I heal. God says so. I wound and heal to correct you and I, to put us in line. So, you know, so he said, I wound that, and I heal. And down the road, he says, and I wet my glittering sword. So, sharper than any two-edged sword, right? Yes. So, God said, I wound and I heal. He says so. Sometimes the law causes even his prophets, you know, to lift up their voice like a trumpeter and declare to Jacob his sin. Isaiah 58:1 says so, you know. Anyway, talking about what God does with his word to his people at times, to put us in line. So, sometimes he gives a cutting word. The Lord will give a cutting word. Not for the purpose of killing us. No. But rather to cleanse us. That's why you go through many things at the time. You don't understand them. God allowed them, you know, to be in your life and so forth, to put me and you in shape. You know, so I give an example of that, you know. Throughout the church ages, book of Revelation 2 and 3 chapters, the Lord gave sharpening, correcting words to each church age. He will tell the church age, do this or do that, or don't do it, I will remove your candlestick. Each church age has a rebuke of one kind or the other, except the Philadelphia church, you know, of perfection and all that, you know. He didn't sharpen, you know, he told the Laodicean church and some of that, you know, you say you are rich and you have no need of nothing and so forth, you know, not even knowing that you are blind, you are wretched, you are miserable and so on. He gives cutting word for correction. So yeah, that sharp cutting word to correct his people, he does it all the time and so forth, that, you know. So, and let me read another sharp cutting word for his people, you know, of author Hebrews 12. I will read from verses 5 down the road what God's word does to his people many of the time, not to kill us, not to destroy us, but to correct us. So Hebrews 12:5, couple of verses here. And ye have forgotten the exhortation. We are going through some things. So you say, why do they not allow this one? So you can learn from this one, I can learn from it. And ye have forgotten the when you are going through trouble, you have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise nor thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. He will rebuke her by his word and so forth. So many of us forget many times this kind of scripture and so on. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourges every son whom he receiveth. If we endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastening, whereof all are partakers. Anyone born of God, I don't care, right from the beginning. Even the oldest book in the Bible, Job, he went through a lot of things, as you know. So don't catch it strange when you fall into diverse temptations and so on. Don't catch it strange at all, you know. Anyway, so we see. But if you read that chapter, man, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. You know, you're going to prove every one of us, you know. So anyway, furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh, which corrected us. It's all for correction, right? And we gave them reference. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirit and live? For they, meaning our heavenly Father, so of verily, for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure. But he, meaning our God, for our own good, our own profit rather, that we might be partakers of his holiness. So, now we know this one. He knows, God knows, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby, he says, you know. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down, commanding you and I this morning, when you find yourself in this type of situation, lift up the hands which hang down, and the feeble knees, and make straight path for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed, the Bible says. Now, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord Jesus. I just felt that you're talking about the word of God this morning. It's all very, very important, you know. Now, let's put a few more here. The word, like a two-edged sword, cuts out the blemishes and excesses, making whole and perfect by removing hindrances in our walk. That was what it did to us. I'll do that again. The word, like two-edged sword, cuts out the blemishes and excesses, making whole and perfect by removing hindrances in our walk with the Lord. Now, rather than looking at his brother, I want to give another example of the Bible. After the resurrection, the Lord appeared to the disciples and so forth. Peter has said, I go out fishing. They have pleasure too in that Bible and so on. About five of them say, oh Lord, no, we go with you, Peter, go out fishing and so on. Anyway, long story short, the Lord appeared to them, and how the Lord can give, a sharp, word to correct and so forth. Peter has said to the Lord about Apostle John, what will you have this man do? The Lord said, the Lord rebuked Peter and so on in John 21:22. What is that to thee? You know, follow that me. Don't look at somebody and so on. He said, what will brother John do? What is that to you if he tells you like call? Kind of a sharp rebuke, right? You, Peter, just follow me. So in so many ways, God will give us a word of rebuke to correct us and so forth. You follow me, Simon. You know, leave John alone. What is it to be if eternity like come? I think that, you know. Now, Jeremiah 12:12. Guide that sword upon thy thigh, O Most High. Talking about the cutting edge of God's word to correct the people. I think that, you know. Guide that sword upon thy thigh, O Most High. You know. Psalm 45 verse 3. For the sword of the Lord shall devour. Now, can be judgment to the people of the world, but I correct his people. Now, the sword is the word, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, really. Like I said before, Ephesians 6:17 says that. Anyway, so we see that there, what God can do to correct us. You know, call it chastening in the book of Hebrews and so forth, you know. So now, one thing I want to mention here is, any of God's word impure? Is there any part of God's word which is impure? Not too long ago, we understand that there's a school here in the U.S. I said they throw out Bible reading They say they call the Bible part of it pornography or something like that. Let me talk about that a little bit right here now, you know. Is any part of God's word impure? No, no, no. A million times and billion times, no. Some have remarked that there are certain passages of scripture that should not be preached. Even some people are saying that, even believers so-called, you know, preach on or taught publicly. They think, what is the reason they give? They say this, that there are certain areas in the world where lewdness and uncleanness are brought forth. They pointed out Judah, how, I think it was his daughter-in-law, you know, camouflaged himself as an adult. And Judah went into her. Even Judah, called priest, right, went into her in the Bible, went into her and so forth, you know. That dancer said, you know, no, before I can, give me your staff and so on. Anyway, so it happened. They will quote that they call it lewdness, right? You know, and so on, that, you know. They will talk about David and Bathsheba, you know. And many things in the book of Psalms and so on, that, you know. So they come up and say the Bible, you know, has pornographic things. And even the people put out the Bible out of their school. Where, you know, and the believers so-called who are believing that, it's because they are carnal, not even knowing the word of God and things like that, you know. Now let's kind of clarify that as well. Our Lord Jesus Christ overcome temptation to the flesh by renouncing the tempter with the word in Matthew 4:4, and telling them there is no impurity in the word of God. Man shall live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. I don't care what they say. Man shall live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That is in Matthew 4:4. The law pulls that out of Deuteronomy 8:3, right? So, it is the responsibility of people who preach the gospel not to shun, to declare, according to Paul told the Ephesian church elders in Acts chapter 20, I shun not to declare to you all the counsel of God. There is no impurity in God's word. I don't care how it is portrayed and so forth, you know. There is no impurity in God's word. Now, to further emphasize this, we are told in 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God. Whether David went to Bathsheba, what about it? Whether Judah went into that, who said he was an adult? Not an adult, really. No. Because there was no one to raise child unto that woman, she deceived herself at all. But Judah was wrong. Anyway, doesn't matter what. So all scripture is given by the inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, wisdom, teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Now, let us now clarify what the Bible is teaching by bringing out the error of David, the error of Judah. It will teach the other generation not to do the same wrong thing. Now, David paid a lot of price for what he did, right? There rose, Absalom, his own son rose against him, right? So the Bible says he swore not to depart from his house, right? He paid a lot of price for doing that, for going to Bathsheba, the wife of Uriah, and even killing the man himself, you know, sent to the hottest part of the battle and so forth. You know, God's word is pure. So, but he paid a lot of price for that. And God is teaching people not to do any of such a thing. It's what God is teaching when he brought that out. You know, so anyway, now, the obvious fact that people in the scripture at points did yield to temptation is by no means condoning similar action to the students of the world. You see, God is not making you and I to condone such things. Not at all. Like I said before, look at the tragic things that happened to David for doing all those kind of things. Now, let's begin to wrap this up here and so on. Now, I don't care what men say, God's word is true. Our Heavenly Father speaks externally saying in Proverbs 30, verse 5, every word of God is pure. I don't care what men say, every word of God is pure. I don't feel like talking about the integrity of God's word, you know. So now, also in Psalm 12, verse 6, The words of the Lord are pure words. Yes. The words of the Lord are pure words. As silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. So God's word is pure. Nobody can make it less than pure. Also the pure, all things are pure, right? Also the unclean, all things are unclean. So we know that, you know. Now, seven speaks of perfection, right? God's word is perfectly pure. What I'm saying this morning, maybe I had it in the news before, they took the Bible out of school, because they say it contains pornographic things. That's nonsense, right? Only Satan questions and say, can God's word ever be impure or unbuilt? That the devil's word. I don't care where I came from. Satan spoke to those people and said, you know, where to us? You know, the answer is no. God's word is pure. God's word was written and still stands written. Psalm 119 verse 140 says, thy word is very pure. See? So, therefore, thy servant loveth it. Praise the Lord. Thy word is very pure. Therefore, thy servant loveth it. Talking about the integrity of God's word this morning and how it is infallible. Now, one more thing. Can God's word be wrong? I'm bringing out things that have been going around in the world and blasphemous and so forth. Many Christians are even confused. Can God's word ever be wrong? Well, sometimes Christians got into a situation where to do what the scripture teach look disastrous indeed. It's like it's a disaster to do what the Bible says in some conditions and so forth. Should it ever be like that? Never. It shouldn't be like that. God's children must learn. We must learn that in every situation, in the face of every contradictory circumstance, God's way is always the right way. Amen? Praise the Lord. No matter what I face, no matter what, God's way is always the right way. And God has no other way than that which His word teaches. Period. You know? God is not double-minded. Even the Lord rebuke people. A double-minded person, it's like the wave of the sea, James said, and some of that, you know. And don't let that man seem like he gets anything from the Lord, right? So the Lord is not double-minded at all. Not really. Never, you know. He will not instruct by scripture as certain. He will tell you one thing in the scripture and then come and do something else or say something else by say the gifts of the Spirit. We have had many situations where people say the Spirit asked me to do it and contrary to the word of God. See, that is the false revelation. What you call it, false revelation and so on. A true gift of God will line up with the word of God. Praise the Lord. All the time. How many people have been left into error by so-called vision, so-called revelation and so forth, completely contrary to the word of God. So God is never double-minded. When you hear anything, somebody tries to guide you with any kind of a revelation or vision, which is contrary to the Bible, it is false. So anyway, God is never double-minded. So, there is no variableness with the Father of life. That is James 1:17. God doesn't change. No variableness in Him. For if the Holy Spirit says something, it has to be from the word of God and all that, you know. Now, Satan often attacks the thoughts of believers with doubting imagination. I think I went, you know, on that before and so on. Satan often attacks the thoughts of believers with doubting imagination, causing them to follow the instruction of the world or the devil himself rather than the instruction of the word of God. I'm putting emphasis on the word of God this morning. We are living in this dangerous age and so forth. We need to discern which is what God's word is and follow the word of God. Now, I want to say importantly now, no matter what you are facing or what I'm facing, no matter how hard the road may seem right now to me or you, no? Under every circumstance, before every situation, always choose to go God's way. Amen? Praise the Lord. I don't care how hard it is, how hard it is for you or me right now. Always endeavor. You know, always choose to go God's way. Why? For the word of the Lord is right. Psalm 33 verse 4. That's what it says. The word of the Lord is right. Talking about the integrity of God's word. The infallibility of it. Can God's word ever be wrong? I ask again. No, I mean, innumerable number of times, God's word can never be wrong. Say that. You doubter of truth. God's word was written as it stands. Written. For the word of the Lord is always right. So anyway, so let's do that one there. God's word can never be wrong. Now, towards the end, now I want to say, even in Psalm 138 verse 2, here's the testimony of the scripture. Thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. The Bible says, so in 1 Corinthians 12:28, another thing here, and God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondly prophets, thirdly teachers, after that you have miracles, then gifts of healing, health, governments, diversity of tongues, and so forth. Now, what I want to bring out here is this. So here are set all the ministerial gifts right in the church. They were listed, I believe, according to their rank and importance. But we notice that he says, thirdly, teachers. Then after that, miracles. He put teaching of the word of God before miracles. You see? Then gifts of healing. He put the word of God first. Then, after that word, the teaching of the word. Now, so that tells you how important the word of God is. Now, if we were more attracted to spiritual truth than outward manifestations, which, you know, we should be, we will rank teaching ministries as more important. It should be more important for the edifying of the body of Christ, more than miracles and gifts of healing. The preaching of God's word should always have the preeminence. Amen? Praise the Lord. Yes, sir. The preaching of God's word should always have the preeminence. Now, anyway, the gifts of the Spirit are to confirm the preached word, rather than be the focal point of the entire meeting. We have had in the past, people will say, oh, what a wonderful service we have. The preacher didn't even have to preach, you know. We have so many things happening, the didn't even have to preach at all. I mean, can you imagine such a thing? You know? So, and I mean, in all humility, may we ask, what was so great about that meeting that the focal point of the service was excluded? The word was not there, right? And they say, oh, it is so great and so forth. You know, God has used miracles and miracle services in a great way. And for the Lord himself makes believers through his works. Notwithstanding though, he said in John 8:31-32, if you continue in my miracles, right? That's what he said. If you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So, see, continue in my word. See, then are ye my disciples indeed. Even we share the prophet, Isaiah 6:3. Then shall we know, if we follow to know the Lord. We can become acquainted with his acts by witnessing his miraculous works. Yes, we can do that. But we can only become knowledgeable of his ways by applying our hearts to his word. In fact, concerning Moses, you know, at the children of Israel, in Psalm 103, verse 7, he made known his ways unto Moses, only his acts to the children of Israel. It is the word. That's something that you know. So this morning, I just say a few words about the word of God. It is infallible. It is, you know, the integrity of it and so forth. We can go on and on. And to what Except your eyes stay there. That should be, you should be confident in all the word of God. That is the reason I'm doing this morning. To be confident in the word of God. In 1 John 5:14. And this is the confidence that we have in Him. So this morning, no matter what you need, no matter what is in your heart, according to God's word, I want you to have confidence in the word of God that you will get it. And this is the confidence that we have in Him. That if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of Him. So this morning, I want you to relate that scripture with you. No matter what you want, what you need, and so forth, be confident. We put emphasis on the word of God this morning. So go with your miracle this morning. No matter how long it has been or whatever, go home with your miracle and so forth. In Hebrews 10:35, cast not away therefore your confidence. Don't cast it away now. Which has a great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience now, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. Yeah, you have done the will of God, then put patience to it. Amen? Praise the Lord. God's word will never fail. It's infallible. Whatever He says He will do, He will do. Sometimes, you need patience. You know? So, I know. Now, and it is coming soon too. So, let me say this in closing. You know? Now, we have been waiting for the coming of the Lord. Waiting for the coming of the Lord and so forth. Let me tell you something in Acts 1:3. As He was going, Acts 1:3. The Bible says this. To whom? The disciples. Also, He showed Himself alive after His passion by many infallible proofs. This morning, I want to say that all I said this morning, they are infallible proofs that He is coming soon. Amen? Praise the Lord. I want to end that way, you know. So just as He showed Himself alive with many, many infallible proofs, Bible says, and so on, and being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, I'm telling you that God's word is infallible. The same Lord now is what being infallible in John 14:2 says this to you, and it is infallible. He said this, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. That is infallible. Amen. Praise the Lord. It will come to pass. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. That is infallible. See? And receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And I always quote my familiar scripture here about the coming of the Lord. It is infallible. 1 Thessalonians 4:16-17. It's also infallible. I'm going to end with that scripture right this morning. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, He is coming soon, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. So don't forget that word patience, and something that you know. And always take the word of God. No matter what situation you are in, find God's word. It's infallible. And so it will not fail you. Say, I will not fail thee. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning. How? We can't even talk enough about the word of God. Lord, you know, we uncover, oh Lord, you know, all the substance of the devil, you know, even in the schools and so forth, to make the God's word to be what it's not. And Lord, we are confident this morning. We should be confident that the word of God is true, is right. So we thank you as we go this morning. Lord, confidence in the word of God. Confidence even in ourselves to believe the word of God and to believe His ministers too, you know. True ministers of God. So Father, we thank you for your word. Your word, O Lord God, light unto our path, lamp unto our feet, and light unto our path. And as we go, that we say we shall never walk in darkness. We have the light of life. And this morning that scripture came to us. Whatever we ask in His name, according to His will, He will give it to us. I pray over every need that are in here this morning in our heart. No matter what they are, the Bible says to the Lord God, He designed the heart, He knows it in your heart this morning, and I just leave these needs, you know, into the hand before the Lord this morning. Meet them, Lord, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, because He knows the heart, the Holy Ghost, the Bible says, you know, He that search the heart knows what is in the mind of the Spirit, and He does make intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So therefore this morning I live by faith, this morning, Lord, of no, depending upon your word, every need represented here this morning, meet them, Lord, O Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that our joy may be full. In the name of the Lord, ask and you shall receive, it says, that your joy may be full. I'm asking by faith this morning, all the needs represented here this morning, that our joy may be full. I believe in the integrity of your word, Lord, and it shall be done. Father, we thank you for the time we have spent in the world. In Jesus' name, Father, we pray.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen.